This is Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. This morning, Ted, this is, again, one of those conversations you're going to, I'm sure, take some notes.
Deep breath. Yes. Yeah.
How do you get your teenagers talking and not just eye rolling? That's always, that's always the big question. And Jonathan McKee joins us this morning. He's an expert on youth culture and has authored a ton of books, including The Guy's Guide to God and so many others. And this book that we're going to highlight today is called Get Your Teenager Talking. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning.
So, is there one question that's kind of a go-to for you, Jonathan, to break the ice with teens?
You know, I guess it really depends, because, I mean, I've got three kids of my own. They're 16, 18, 21, and then I've been in youth ministry 20 years. So, sometimes I'll get stuck in a room, where with a bunch of kids I don't even know. I say stuck in a room because we're talking junior hires. No. If it's kids I don't know, very often it's just, it starts with noticing what's on kids' shirts, what's, what are they talking about, where they, and as you notice and kind of sit there as a fly on the wall, very often, young people want to talk. Very often we as adults are just asking the wrong questions. So very often as I start with noticing, then, he can ask them something they're interested about. So, it's for a go-to question, though, like one that I'd say that gets kids talking today, early in the book, one of the ones I might ask is something like, if you could text anybody in the world and you knew they would text you back, who would you text? why that person? What would you text them? What would you hope they would reply? Asking some follow-up questions to kind of, qualify. And it's fun to ask fantasy stuff, like, if you had $1 million. But I like to bring it back to reality, too. So then I might ask something more realistic about their world, like, okay, so if you could choose somebody that you text already, and you can only text one person for an entire year, who would that be? Who would you miss texting the most? Because then all of a sudden you're learning more about, okay, man, here's who my best friend is, or here's someone who I really like and enjoy. So, it's fun to discover a little bit about teenagers' worlds with questions.
That's good.
Yeah, so often I think we get busy talking ourselves and we can tend to talk to teenagers and not with them and have them talk. This book has 180 creative discussion starters, and I love this because it really gives us some jumping off places too. I think we get into ruts, so this is, I think, a wonderful tool. I like the part about gadgets. This is a great way, I think, to get kids talking too, just asking them what would be the thing that they would be most upset with if they lost. And what have you found with that? Have you used that one a lot? Because everybody's got their phones.
Again, noticing what's in their world, and as they're sitting there and, constantly with obviously a phone in their hand, we're now in the U.S., 75% of 12 through 17 year olds, have that device, the smartphone. Even more used to have the old phone where you could talk, which none of them did, and text, which too many of them did. But now with the smartphone, I mean, they obviously have access to social media and internet and their entire music library and, everything all right there. So sometimes that's the thing their eyes are glued on. So it is fun to sometimes ask questions about that and, what's your favorite app? And I think as parents, we can sometimes, ask them to give us the tour, put them in the seat of the expert and say, how's this work? Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And you were right. You said, sometimes we become the talker, mm-hmm. and we need to turn our lecturing to listening. And I think the reason a lot of, adults, struggle, I think, with communicating to teenagers is, not only are we asking the wrong questions, but we're asking them the wrong way. A lot of times when we ask questions, we're like that parole officer looking for, some sort of infringement of the rules. It's like, well, where were you last night? What time did you get back in? Were you with that boy, Chris? So every question we're asking them is about, did you finish your chores? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, did you do it the way I told you? Did you make sure you edged the lawn perfect with the, And if that's what we're asking all the time, no wonder they don't want to talk with us. Let's put it this way. Pretty much every parenting expert out there will tell you that there's two elements that every parent needs, and that is bonding and boundaries. Bonding is hanging out with your kid, rolling on the floor, wrestling. Boundaries is teaching them values and sometimes even say, no, sorry, not in this house. Well, I think a lot of us parents, we're supposed to be doing both of those things. Sometimes most of our conversation is in the boundary side of things. Did you finish this? Did you finish your chores? Mm-hmm. And if we don't ever spend time just getting to know them, then it's no wonder they don't talk.
Talking with Jonathan McKee here on Faith Radio Mornings. He's an expert on youth culture, has 20 years of youth ministry experience, and he's written the book, Get Your Teenager Talking, Everything You Need to Spark Meaningful Conversations. And we'll get a quick break in here, come back, and continue our conversation with Jonathan in just a moment. It's Faith Radio Mornings.
This is Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we're talking this morning about how to get our teenagers talking. Jonathan McKee is our guest.
So we were talking in the first segment there about how technology can be a hindrance to conversation, you know, with kids wrapped up in their cell phones or whatever it might be. But the issue of getting teens to open up has been with us even before cell phones came along, hasn't it, Jonathan?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think there's kind of that growing chasm that, you know, think about it between adults and teenagers. Even, you know, you think of at church, 20 years ago, what happens when, you know, kids and adults, you know, like if your family goes and visits another family, what happens? Kids disappear upstairs, right? Adults mm-hmm. stay downstairs and talk about adult stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's always kind of the, hey, youth go up there. And there was actually even a trend in the church for a while, a trend I didn't like, which was the youth would always do a youth service. And so literally when, you know, parents would pull in the parking lot of the church, the kids would disappear, you know, to youth service, and well, parents would go to the, you know, to the real service, and then they would, you know, we'll meet you at the car in 3 hours, come back, how was it, you know, and I actually have seen a lot of churches that kind of noticed, you know, we don't like it. We want to see families together, and then it's okay if, you know, maybe you divide for a fellowship hour or something like that. But there's constantly, our culture seems to constantly divide, you know, youth culture and adult culture, and it's crazy because adults often don't even know what's going on in young people's lives, and they have no clue, and they're just, you know, when it comes to them trying to learn a little bit about it, it's you know, like a foreign missionary going to a foreign land, and you know, that's one reason in the world of youth ministry we often will train youth workers about youth culture, because sometimes Americans, we feel like, oh, I know it, I was there just, you know, I was there just 10 years ago. Well, a lot has changed in 10 years.
Yeah, right.
A lot with technology. So yeah, there is this growing chasm, and technology makes it a little more difficult. One reason why is because as teens are becoming more involved in social networking and technology, it's actually making them less social. Kind of a cruel irony if you think about it. Social media is making them less social, but you know, more and more studies. I was blogging, so if you jump on our website, thesourceforparents.com, that's the source number 4 parents.com, free articles and resources for parents, and blog and write these articles that, you know, helping parents understand youth culture today. We have this thing called Youth Culture Window. We were talking about this kind of this growing divide, and we were talking about this lack of of conversation out of young people, and social media is definitely one of these interesting culprits, because as young people are spending more time with e-friends, you know, alone in their room, surrounded by e-friends, there's been a lot of studies saying that young people have less intimate relationships, less people they can actually go to as a confidant, because they're craving more of these anonymous relationships and more of these easy screen relationships. And it's harder for young people to communicate face-to-face these days because they're used to communicating on screens. In fact, doctors did some studies. There was one, a bunch of pediatricians brought young people in, and, you know, doctors obviously need good patient information so they can better diagnose. And they would ask teenagers questions about their health and face-to-face, and then they would say, okay, now I'll tell you what. Now I want you to go ahead and answer these questions to this screen here, and they'd put them in a computer, and they'd ask the same questions, and teenagers were almost 20% more honest when talking to a screen, even though the doctor was going to read the same questions in the other room, so they get good patient history. So, yeah, it's definitely an impasse, you know, definitely a hurdle parents have to go through, and so that's why tools like this book, Get Your Teenagers Talking, are ones that say, hey, let's not fight this. Let's talk about some of these issues. Let's talk about technology. Let's talk about some of these things, and let's get them talking instead of us lecturing. Let's turn our lecturing to listening and ask them some questions.
Yeah, I think we've all heard those studies, too, where they talk about the importance of a family meal together, and yet that's the one thing that the phones can really have a huge interruption. We were just talking about a new phone app called Dinner Time, where it locks your phone for, you know, maybe a half an hour or whatever, so that you're not using anything social media for that half an hour. What have you found? Even that time, you get maybe just a half an hour with your kids during dinner time. That's a great, isn't that a great playground to kind of get some of these questions going?
Well, it is funny, and as you mentioned, there has been those family meal reports. Columbia University does that every year, and they've basically found that, you know, families that spend less than three family dinners a week together, they've noticed that those kids are like oh my gosh, it's crazy. It's like, you know, twice as likely to smoke marijuana, to, you know, their grades are worse, all this stuff. And it's some chicken and the egg research, because obviously some families who are doing family meals are doing other things as well. But the fact being, families that spend time together, having that face time, those kids are growing up making better decisions. So, yeah, we have, at our family dinner table, we just have no gadgets. And I don't fight gadgets in our house. We let them have it and stuff like that. But we definitely have some guidelines. And you know, man, all the pediatricians and Journal Pediatrics, they recommend straight, you know, honest. In fact, one of my blog posts a while back on thesourceforparents.com was about what all the experts are saying for recommendations for safety and social media. Man, Journal Pediatrics, they come out, they come blazing hard saying, you know, collect phones at night, you know, have limit screen time. This, you know, they're saying boundaries are good. In my house, not super strict, but we definitely phones off at night when you go to bed, no phones at the dinner table. And so, I mean, it's, you know, we don't need an app at our house. It's don't bring your phone to the dinner table. But in addition, the fun thing is we do dishes together afterwards, and that might not sound like a lot of fun, but it's fun because one person doesn't get stuck with it. We all actually do it together, and, you know, many hands makes light work. So we're all working together, and I find that my kids, we've had some great conversations while doing dishes, because it's like everybody's standing up, they're moving around. And it's funny, we don't have a rule, no phones during dishes, but my daughter's got her hands underwater, so she can't have her phone in her hand, even though she now wants that waterproof phone. No, sorry. I like the fact that the girl actually talks during dishes. But it's so funny, we're just constantly like, yeah, what about that? And we have these fun, you know, conversations. So we have that dinner time, that dish time. We also, we've done a thing called No Tech Tuesday, and during the school year in our house, we just literally, because our house, we like movies, we have TV shows we watch, but on Tuesday night, we're like, hey, let's read, let's play games, let's do whatever, you know, and if you need to for homework, that's fine, but we just instilled it, and the girls said, okay, let's, you know, let's do it. My oldest daughter, who's 18, just came back from her first year at school, she's about to turn 19, she said, you know what? I kind of look back, I wish we would have had more of those. Wow. So it's funny to hear, you know, someone actually say, I wish we had less technology. But, you know, I think she valued those conversations.
And I think it's important, too, that as a parent, if you have, say, you have the no phones at the table rule, well, I have to take this because it's work. I think it has to go both ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, study after study. I blogged on that one a couple months ago. Study after study is, as a matter of fact, I did this one article to parents titled, put away your phone, mom, because studies are showing. In fact, there was this one study where these people actually went to a restaurant and they just monitored parent phone use, and they were watching kids' behavior during parent phone calls. And they were saying with little kids that kids' behavior got worse because they were vying for that attention.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, we can teach what we know, but we can only model who we are.
Again, we're talking today to Jonathan McKee, and he's author of the book Get Your Teenager Talking. We have links for it up at myfaithradio.com. Have about a minute left, Jonathan. Can you just offer some encouragement to the parent that is feeling like, screwed it up, you know, I should have been doing this all along, and now my teenager won't talk to me at all? What's the first step for them?
Yeah, it's never too late. I mean, the fact is, you know, you've got that, you know, we talked about those two important elements in parenting, bonding and boundaries. Well, as their kids get older, gosh, when they're 18, they can go join the military and do whatever they want. So we don't have boundaries anymore, really. I mean, if you think about it, we're more powerless, but we still have that ability to bond with them and communicate with them and be there in their lives. I, for years in the youth ministry circle, never had that boundary power, but I always had that bonding element where I could befriend, come alongside, and be that role model and just love them and care for them. And it was amazing because they would come to my home and be there with me and you know, and see what it's like to see those values taught. And you know, I've got two in college right now, so I'm experiencing that. You know, they're out on their own. They can kind of do what they want while they're on their own. But yeah, keep those efforts, keep communicating, turn our lecturing to listening. Don't seek out opportunities to monologue, seek opportunities to dialogue so that we can listen and get our teenagers talking.
Our guest this morning has been Jonathan McKee, and his book has 180 wonderful discussion starters for you, plus also giving you some ideas on how to interpret maybe those eye rolls and different responses that your kids will have. Jonathan, thank you so much for these great helps. We are so appreciative.
Thank you. Glad to be here.